Good morning. Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Roland McFarland, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. Check out our website at www.pinetopcoc.org and email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We have Bible class beginning at 9 a.m. Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, and then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. Before the lesson, I have a special announcement to make. This past October, Steve Nehemiah was with us from October 13 through 18, 2019, evangelizing in a gospel meeting here at Pine Top Church of Christ. After this, he spent the rest of October and part of November in Freetown, Sierra Leone, Africa, teaching and encouraging faithful Christians there. Next Sunday, Lord willing, Steve plans to share with us the progress he made teaching sound doctrine in that area during the past several years that he has been working with those in Sierra Leone. Be sure to listen to Steve on this program next Sunday, and if possible, plan to attend his presentations for Bible class as well as the Sunday morning and evening services on January 26, 2020. The blood of Christ was shed on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. That includes the past, present, and future of all humanity. The price of sin paid on that day and available to all who would submit and receive it. This is a clear contrast to the old Jewish law, which had constant sacrifices needing to be offered that couldn't cleanse sin. In Hebrews 10:9-12 says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Jewish priests continually offered sacrifice for sins of the people, but the sacrifice of Christ was the perfect atonement for sin. Thanks be to God for such love he has shown us in giving his Son." I want to go into more detail, however, that this one sacrifice not only has saving power, but can continually save our souls from death and Hades. 1 John is filled with wisdom on love and obedience to the gospel. He writes to those who would have fellowship with them, chapter 1, verse 3, and his little children, chapter 2, and verse 1. These verses together give us strong evidence that John is not writing to alien sinners outside the blood of Christ, but those who were obedient to the gospel. He writes in chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We're to strive against and to overcome sin, but if we stumble in our faith, then Christ is our advocate with God. How do we approach this advocate to be cleansed of sin once again? As I have stated, Christ's sacrifice was good once for all. The previous chapter gives us the explanation of what to do. 1 John 1:8-9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must confess our sins before our advocate in shame and remorse. Christ understands our weaknesses, and if we come before Him humbly, He will renew our spirit. We understand that although God is a just God, He is also a forgiving God as well, if we are sincere in our repentance. Jesus gives His disciple Peter instruction on forgiveness, and we know that Christ came not to do His own will, but the will of God. In Matthew 18:21-22, "Then came Peter to Him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Jesus goes on to explain a parable about a king with a servant who owed him an enormous amount of money. But this man begged for patience, and the master had compassion on him and forgave the debt. This servant, however, had a fellow servant that owed him a much smaller amount. And we see this servant begging also for more time. The forgiven servant, however, showed him no mercy. Now this servant was then brought back before the king, and for his lack of compassion, he was cast into prison until all was paid. The Lord forgives us for so much, it should be imperative that we forgive others as well. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Many look to this verse as a way to salvation for the lost soul, but this verse is for all. Repentance is a major aspect of obeying the gospel, but it's also for the erring Christian as well. If we don't repent of our sins, how can he be cleansed of them before God? The blood of Christ cleanses us continually, preparing us for eternity in heaven with God. But this does not mean the blood of Christ will cleanse us in spite of our actions on the earth. The man-made opinion on the saving blood of Christ, even for the erring Christian, or the once saved, always saved concept, is not biblical, and therefore false. Paul said in Galatians 1:8, "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." When we commit sin, we understand that sin blemishes us spiritually. We must be pure before Christ to remain in this relationship. The marriage relationship is presented as a type of relationship with Christ. The closeness and love go beyond normal explanation. But can you imagine a worse feeling than if your spouse would turn their back on you to commit adultery with someone else? Our sin harms Christ in a similar manner. In Hebrews 6:4-6, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. In no uncertain terms we read about a partaker of the gospel who has fallen back into the world of sin, is metaphorically putting Christ back on the cross, shaming his sacrifice. Even those who were wanting to go back to the law of Moses for authority for salvation were turning their back on the true saving power of Christ. In Galatians 5, verse 1 through 4, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Those who were looking to bring in elements of the law of Moses into the new covenant of Christ are being rebuked for this foolishness. Looking to anything other than the gospel of Christ for our salvation is to say that what Christ did wasn't good enough. What Christ tells us to do to receive salvation isn't enough. To conclude this morning, I want to reinforce the power of the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9, verse 14. "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" If you have never obeyed the gospel, we come into contact with his blood by submitting to his will and taking part in his death, burial, and resurrection. In Romans 6, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." I've already talked about repentance, but here we see taking part in the sacrifice of Christ involves going down into the water of baptism, just as Christ went down into the grave of death. Then we rise out of the water. We arise to new spiritual life, as Christ also arose from the grave to life eternal. Praise be to God for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from sin. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context, consider all the inspired writer said, and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think you'll come to the conclusion that there is a God, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is his holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in verse 21 he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Then in verse 24, Jesus said, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what his commandments are so that we can keep them, and thus be ready to stand before him to give account of our life. Thank you for being a part of this study. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.